Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Hello, and I'm so thankful that you have chosen to listen to our program this morning, and also I hope that you'll be a participant in it, and you know, open up your Bibles and study along with me, and also if you write these verses down so that you can look at them later at your convenience and study them and meditate upon them, and just as Paul had noted over there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, to study it, to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the whole point, is that we, meet the approval of God, not man, but God, not even ourselves, but what God will approve of. I'd like for you to look over in the Old Testament book of Daniel, if you would. We read about a story there of some men right there, or some young people there, actually. We know, if you recall, over there in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he had, defeated them, and he had taken some there as over in there to his country, and he had wanted them to choose some young children there that, were, like it was described there in verse 4 of chapter 1, without blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And so among those was Daniel, and Daniel, as we all, as you see there in verse 7, he was renamed there by that eunuch, the prince of the eunuchs. His name was given name was Belteshazzar, and so also to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But it's easier, to remember their names there as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And that's the ones that we want to focus on in this lesson this morning right here. Daniel 3 there, it reveals more about the character of these three young men. And an incident there that had, it still fascinates people today when you look at it, and it should, because we see the power of a strong faith, even in those that are young. So you see, that's the important thing today, is bring up our young children with the knowledge of God's word so that they can be strong in the faith and carry on the work, because we don't know how much time we have in this world. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. We do know that it will be destroyed one day. But we know that there needs to be those that will carry on that work and have that great faith. But we want to look in this lesson this morning, the trial of these three men right here, these three young men, their faith, and the events that led up to it. There had been something that took place there in chapter 3 of Daniel there by Nebuchadnezzar. He had made an image of gold, and he had set it up there, and he wanted everyone at a certain time right there to worship this image. And we know that this was something there that these three men who were faithful unto the Lord there, they were not going to do. And so, yes, when you see right there when you read on through that chapter, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they would not bow down and worship that image, because they knew that they were not supposed to. And because it went against the word of God there. They were not to have any other gods before them. And then they were threatened there, as you read on in that chapter 3 there in verses 13 through 15, by King Nebuchadnezzar. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve any gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So not only did he threaten them, he's going to give them another chance to, you know, worship that image, but he also mocked God there, mocked their faith in God. So who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? You know, like he had that power there that nothing, even their God couldn't even override. But you know that, but we see here the nature of that trial. They had been promoted in their situation. They had been promoted over the affairs of Babylon. When you look there in verse 3, chapter 3 actually, in verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, they had been promoted there. And still yet, you know, they could have easily said, well, they did us a favor and they promoted us and all that. Maybe we need to do that. But you see, they wasn't going to sacrifice their conscience. They was not going to be disobedient to God, you see. All they needed to do was just to conform to it. But of course, that would have meant disobeying God. But when you look over there in Exodus chapter 20 and in verses 4 and 5, you'll see here, this is the laws that they were keeping. In chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 4, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So this was a command. God said, you shall not bow down and worship other images right there, no matter what. And so they were obedient to that. You know, today we may face similar situations. You know, our children today, and even into our adulthood. You know, children today, you know, popularity at school by doing things that others are doing or the teachers don't see no wrong in, or it may be some type of position at work that we may be we may be called upon trying to get us to do something that's, you know, goes against God's word. And so yes, it might be something that's illegal, it might be something that's unethical or immoral, but you know, even then we still have to stand our ground. You know, we cannot go along with the crowd. That's the easy way out, you see, and that would condemn us, and so would God. So yes, that's why it's important that no matter what we face in this life, serve God first. And likely all we would have been through is just maybe tempted in some way. Not had someone stand before us and say, no, you do this or you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. You know, maybe it's been, you know, you do this or you're going to lose your job. Well, you know, we need to have enough faith just like these men right here did, and believe in God, and we'll always come out ahead. So how would we react at that? You know, think about that. Well, let's look a little bit further, and we'll see how that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reacted to it. We see the testimony that was made there. They demonstrated their faith. They showed how the faith that they had and the power of God. When you go back over there to Daniel chapter 3, and you look in verses 16 and 17. Look at what they answered Nebuchadnezzar here, king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they said it wasn't going to take much thought on their behalf. They had already determined that they were going to serve God. And they believed that he was very able and capable of delivering them out of that king's hand. But it said, if it's not his will that it take place, still let it be known we're not going to bow down. This was a determination here on their part. You know, it's like today. We'll think at times, you know, well, I didn't have a choice. I had to tell that lie to avoid a situation or keep from hurting someone's feelings, or I had to do it to keep my job or things like that. No, we have to be determined to serve God first and foremost, and, you know, and accept whatever comes after that. Because just like these men right here, their very lives were at stake. And most of it's going to happen to us. You know, it might cost you a job. But have enough faith in the Lord that, you know, something better will come along as a result of that. And you won't have to face that situation anymore. But they were determined they were not going to worship other gods. That they were going to only worship the Lord. And just like our children today, out here in the schools, you know, it might be they've been goaded into trying to maybe smoke a cigarette or take some kind of drug or, you know, things like that. No, they have to stand up to that and say, no, I'm not going to do it. And that's what we need to teach our children today, because we see, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure on these children anymore and what they're having to face in the world. And so we need to prepare them for those situations. But these men right here, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they determined to serve God no matter what. Just like Job did over there when we read about Job, you know, and all that he went through. I know everyone's probably familiar with Job and how that the devil there was given the freedom there to torment him, thinking that he would curse God. But look at what, even with, after he had lost his children, lost his livestock, and then eventually he lost his health as well. But look at what he said there in chapter 1 of Job in verses 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't sin. He didn't allow those hard times right there and difficult times that he was facing to cause him to sin. And that's why, you know, we can have that same faith today. Just like we see over there in Job chapter 13 and in verse 15. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He said, even if it means my life. He said, I'm still going to serve the Lord. You know, Habakkuk, when you look over there, also in the Old Testament, about another man named Habakkuk, there in chapter 3, 17 through 19, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, and to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. Yes, this man right here, Habakkuk, he was determined, no matter if the, you know, times got tough, no matter if the flocks were not producing, no matter if they didn't have any flocks, no crops, whatever, he was still going to worship God and rejoice in God. You know, over there in the New Testament, we read about a man named Paul there. Look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So yes, no matter what they were going through, he said, we're still, you know, we're still carrying on. You know, it doesn't matter. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but we're not destroyed. He said there in verse 10, also always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So he was going to show others there that faith, that strong faith. You know, this is actually, a lot of times people will watch us. It won't be necessarily what we say, but it's how we handle situations. Are we handling it the way a Christian should? You know, that's the test right there, and that's what we need to be able to do. You know, the apostles, when you look over there in Acts chapter 5, they rejoiced when they had been beaten. That's right, beaten because they were spreading the gospel. Acts chapter 5 and verses 27 through 29, it says, "For of a truth," I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. In Acts 5:27 through 29, earlier there, they had been told not to spread the gospel. It says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us," which it was, because they desired the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But look at what Peter and the others, how they answered. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." Yes, we ought to obey God rather. And later on, they were beaten. And look at how they handled that in verses 40 through 42 of that same chapter. "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That didn't stop them, you see. And they even rejoiced because they'd been counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now that right there, people, is faith. That's the kind of faith. These were men, flesh and blood men. Yes, they were under the power of the Holy Spirit. But still yet, we have the Spirit, which is God's Word today. Our faith can be strong too. And it needs to be strong, even during difficult times. Stand strong in our faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we, getting back to those three men that we read about over in Daniel there, we see that their faith, that they had a victory over it. Let's look at that victory. You know, the rest of that chapter reveals how that they were saved in that fiery furnace. When you look, going back over there to Daniel chapter 3 and verses 19 through 25, now, this was after they had spoken back to the king there and told him, no matter what, we're not going to bow down to your images. Look at the reaction there of King Nebuchadnezzar. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated." 7 times hotter. "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace." So yes, they bound them. They tied them up and threw them into that fire. But look at what happened in verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The very men that threw them in were burned up because of the heat of the flames there of that furnace. And it says in verse 23, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king." He said, weren't they tied up? Weren't they bound when they were through in there? I said, yeah, that happened. Verse 25 says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." He said, well, I see four in there now. Not only that, they're walking around in there, and they're not being burned up. The men that threw them in there were burned up. Now think about that for a moment. The power of God has no limitations. All things are possible with God. That's what Jesus Christ said. All things are possible. And even we see here, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was seeing something right here. You know, he said, am I seeing right? You know, look at, did we have three men in there tied up? He said, I even see four. He even described one as the Son of God. You see, the Lord is with us. You know, we may think at times he's not with us. And don't get me wrong, he's not going to be with us if we're out here doing sinful acts and living for the devil. No, forget that. We have to live for the Lord. We have to have that strong conviction in our hearts and our minds that we're going to live for him, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But see, that look at what these trials that they went through. Look at what it brought them there. They had entered bound into that fire, tied up, but then they were seen loose, walking around. The very thing that was supposed to destroy them actually helped them to walk freely. Remember that promise that we have over in Isaiah there that the Lord gave in chapter 43 of Isaiah 1 and 2? He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Now, that doesn't mean we can just get out here and hold our hand over a fire and walk through fire and not be burned up. No, this is a situation here far different from that. That would be testing God. That would be just like the devil tried to do with Jesus Christ over there in the book of Matthew there in chapter 4. You know, you said he wanted him to just do things there, and Jesus flat out told him, "So you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." You don't get up on that that pinnacle, that temple there, and then just jump off just like he wanted him to do. That's tempting. Just like when people do things today and call it acts of worship there, acts of faith. It's actually tempting God. No, God has given us common sense, and he's given us a knowledge of things, you know, that will do us harm. But it's things like this right here that these three men had to face that we need to keep in mind that what the Lord will be with us and help us doesn't guarantee that we're not going to lose our life. You know, there were men, faithful men, that lost their life being obedient to God. But they had something far greater waiting for them, you see. And that's what we have to keep in mind. What do we have to look forward to? You know, these men right here, they were helped through their trial there, and they had victory. You know, and we can have help through our trials too. You know, we look over there in the book of Hebrews, if you will, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and about verses 5 through 11, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Sure we should. You know, there's going to be difficult times we'll go through. It may be, and so be prepared for those times, and you know, and have that faith in God. You know, Jesus promised us something far better. For those that overcome, he promised us a home in heaven. He promised us a place that is described over there in the book of Revelation and in chapter 21, a place over there that it won't be like what we see here on earth. It won't be none of the things that we have to endure here in this world. No, it's a place that's described over there in chapter 21 in verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." You see, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual place. We won't have to endure the things that goes on this life. We will not have to have that physical food for this body. Right now, this body, this soul needs spiritual food, which is the Word of God, to prepare it for that place so that one day we can see that place. You remember how we read about what Job was going through over there in Job? Well, when you go back over there to Job again in chapter 42, and you look in verse 10, after it was all said and done, Job got twice as much as he had before when he endured all those things. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they endured, and they came out way better. You know, we may not have the riches of this world, but what good is it if you die? What good is it going to do? Is it going to help you get into heaven? No, a lot of times it prevents you. These men came out so much more. Even Nebuchadnezzar gave God the glory. He witnessed those things. And something to keep in mind, too, as well, just like we read over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Things work together for the good. We just have to have that faith. We have to have that trust. Don't be like some people out here, and you know, in describing the kind of faith they have. Is your faith like a spare tire? It's used only in the case of emergency. Is it like a wheelbarrow that's, you know, easily upset and has to be pushed? Or is it like a bus that's ridden only when it goes our way? That's not the kind of faith to have. We need to have that strong faith too, and we can have that strong faith. I thank you for your time, and I hope we've went over a few things briefly there that will help you and encourage you. And I hope that if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that it will encourage you to do so. And if you'll come here at the Brummett Church of Christ, my name is Dennis Hamilton. We'll be glad to show you what you need to do, and we'll show you right in God's Word what you must do. And at this time, I hope you have a good day.
I've heard a lament of joy and peace and wonderful light. A beautiful place of passion fair and scattered bright, where all who believe the Savior did forever shall stay. And having been saved by grace divine, I go
Yes.